In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Yeah.
Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's first reading for Easter comes from the 10th chapter of Acts, beginning with the 34th verse. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 118 responsibly today. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord has exalted me.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord.
I shall not die. But the Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered to me, and you have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
By the Lord has done. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today's second reading comes from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with the first verse. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And they, very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Be seated. Kids? Any kids? Happy Easter, all. Now, do you know what these are? What kind of eggs? Easter eggs. Easter eggs. Now, and I didn't know if any of you had ever experienced hard-boiled Easter eggs. I thought maybe you're all just going to be used to plastic ones. Okay, good. Okay, so inside is hard-boiled egg. How do you suppose that eggs got to be a tradition for Easter? So because it breaks out of the tomb of the egg, then that would be probably something that would remind us of Jesus coming out of the tomb. That could be. But actually, let me tell you historically how this happened. They used it because during Lent, we just got done with Lent, Easter, the 40 days before Easter, they were not allowed to eat meat or eggs. Well, nobody told the chickens not to lay eggs for 40 days. And so to preserve them, they would hard-boil them. And then on Easter, they would give them to people. And it was quite a treat because they had not had eggs for 40 days. And so that's why the 40 days were over at Easter. And so that's why they had hard-boiled eggs for Easter. I like your explanation very much. But the thing is, but if we open these eggs, then there would be an egg inside. So it wouldn't really be the tomb, because what happened to the tomb of Jesus? It was empty. So maybe they would take an egg like this one. Maybe not. It's empty. So then we can think about it being the tomb of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you on this day as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, who died on a cross to save us from sin and to join us together with you for eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks. Grace and peace from our risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Little Jimmy was 3 years old when his pet lizard died. His grandma decided to make a teaching experience out of it. She suggested that little Jimmy and an older boy in the family hold a funeral for the lizard. So Granny, with all good intentions, explained that a funeral was a ceremony where you say a prayer, sing a song, and bury your loved one. Grandma even provided a shoebox as the burial place in the backyard. The boys thought it was a great idea, so the impromptu funeral procession marched into the backyard. The older boy said a prayer. Then he turned and asked little Jimmy if he'd like to sing a song. With tears in his eyes, little Jimmy clasped his hands, bowed his head, and then he sang, "Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. Well, the instructions didn't say what kind of a song to sing. Those were the sentiments of the people who had plotted the death of Jesus. and seen it through on Friday. That's what they really wanted. Hit the road, Jesus, and don't come back no more. But let me tell you, they sure made a bad call. Without knowing it, Jesus' enemies were putting a fat fastball over home plate so that Jesus could knock it out of the park. Yes, Jesus died. No question about this. But even here, the architects of the crucifixion were not aware that their plans, succinctly stated in the words of Caiaphas, when the high priest, when he said, "It is expedient for one man to die than for the whole nation to perish." Well, they were precisely what God had in mind. And there had been a funeral. Jesus was buried in a grave, a tomb. It was of Joseph of Arimathea. But on Sunday morning, a whole new reality had to be considered. As tacticians, they were a total failure. The folks who railroaded Jesus messed up. They couldn't have been more wrong had they tried. They thought that they were going to be rid of their problem. Their problem was Jesus, and they thought he was gone. But instead, they amplified and expanded their worries exponentially. By all rights, their calculations should have added up. We stirred up the crowds. We had Jesus killed by the Romans. He was buried. In a few days, our worries are in the past. The body of the one that they were trying to be rid of should now be cold and stiff and in the beginning stages of decomposition. But it wasn't. No. On Sunday morning, the grave was empty. Eliminating God, and especially Christ, from the culture has been a sort of a sport for many years. It began with the crucifixion of Jesus as the early religious leaders tried to kill Christ. And then it came through the centuries. There were God's death ethics to the modern day atheist movement that would eliminate all vestiges of faith from the culture. Christianity has always been under attack. Newspaper, magazine articles, internet postings, all indicating that Christianity is on the decline or dying, or in fact dead. What is the counterpoint to all of this? Easter Sunday. The empty grave argues against all notion that Christ's influence will end. In fact, Christ himself indicated that the church, Christianity, would prevail when he told his followers, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," the church. That's from Matthew 16. Christ told us he would return, and that when he returned, there would be a church gathering of believers ready to receive him. I suggest to you, beloved, that any rumor of Christianity's imminent demise is greatly exaggerated. An old black preacher by the name of E.B. Hill preached one of the all-time favorite sermons. This old man had jowls like a bulldog and a voice that sounded like it was mixed with gravel. The sermon was titled, "Sunday's Coming." This is what Pastor Hill preached. It's Friday. Jesus is arrested in the garden where he's praying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are hiding and Peter's denying that he knows the Lord, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus is standing before the high priest of Israel, silent as a lamb before the slaughter, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus is beaten, mocked, and spit upon, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Those Roman soldiers are flogging our Lord with a leather scourge and with bits of bone and glass and metal, tearing his flesh, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Son of Man stands firm as they press the crown of thorns down onto his brow, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See him walking to Calvary, blood dripping from his body. See the cross crashing down on his back as he stumbles beneath the load. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See the Roman soldiers driving the nails into the feet and hands of my Lord. Hear my Jesus cry, "Father, forgive them." It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus is hanging on the cross, bloody and dying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The sky grows dark. The earth begins to tremble. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. Holy God, who will not abide with sin, pours out his wrath on the perfect sacrificial lamb, who cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a horrible cry. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and at the moment of Jesus' death, the veil of the temple that separates sinful men from holy God was torn from the top to the bottom because Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus is hanging on the cross. Heaven is weeping and hell is parting, but that's because it's Friday, and they don't know it, but Sunday's coming. And on the horrible day 2,000 years ago, Jesus the Christ, the Lord of glory, the only begotten Son of God, the only perfect man, died on the cross of Calvary. Satan thought that he had won the victory. Surely he had destroyed the Son of God. Finally, he had disproved the prophecy God had uttered in the garden, and the one who was to crush his head had been destroyed. But it was Friday. And now it's Sunday. Yes, and now it's Sunday. Sunday's here, and the grave is empty. Not the religious leaders, not Herod, not Pilate, not the bloodthirsty crowd crying, crucify him, not the soldiers, not Satan, and especially not death, could hold Jesus in the grave. So what does Easter mean? Let's think about it. The grieving had ended. The grave was sealed. The darkness enshrouded the body. It punctuated the finality of the grave. The body was cold and lifeless on a slab owned by the earth. Time passed. Then the unexpected. A strange glow and the sound. A faint heartbeat growing stronger, spreading warmth. First the chest, then to the head and abdomen. Finally the arms and legs and hands and feet. Warmth in a tomb. Louder sounds, a dry, raspy rattling, the first breath, then gasps as air rushes into collapsed lungs, filling them. Eyes open, even the strange faint light causes squinting and tearing. Sitting up, then on 2 feet, the first tentative steps to open the mouth of the grave. There, waiting the sights and sounds of a beautiful golden sunrise, spraying the hillside with light. Cool, crisp air, and the sound of a new day. Jesus' resurrection? No. No, no, beloved. I wasn't describing Jesus' resurrection. This is our resurrection. Easter tells us that the grave will not have the last word. Easter is God's promise that Christ triumphed our triumph too. God gives this to us through his transforming and transcending forgiveness. That's what Easter is about. Let me tell you about one more preacher, John Chrysostom. He was perhaps the early church's greatest preacher. He was known as the Golden Mouth because of his eloquence. Listen to the words he preached one Easter Sunday. Let no one grieve at his poverty, for the universal kingdom has been revealed. Let no one mourn that he's fallen again. And again, for forgiveness has risen from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. He has destroyed it by enduring it. He destroyed Hades when he descended into it. He put it into an uproar, even as it tasted his flesh. Isaiah foretold this when he said, you, O hell, have been troubled by encountering him below. Hell was in an uproar because it was done away with. It was in an uproar because it is mocked. It was in an uproar where it was destroyed. It's in an uproar where it was annihilated. It's in an uproar where it's now made captive. Hell took a body and discovered God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw and was overcome by what it did not see. O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is thy victory? Christ is risen, and you, O death, are annihilated. Christ is risen, and the evil ones are cast down. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life is liberated. Christ is risen, and the tomb is empty of its dead. For Christ, having risen from the dead, is becoming the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. My friends, may the empty grave and the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring peace and hope to you. Amen.
Rejoicing, we pray for the life of the church, the world, and all people in any need. You give life to your church by joining the baptized to the body of Christ. Bless the newly baptized as we proclaim the one whose death and resurrection makes us one in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
You give light to the creation by renewing the earth in every season. Curb our exploitation of natural resources and cause us to preserve health of plant and animal habitats. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You give life to the world by laying a cornerstone among the nations. Rebuild the powers and principalities around us in ways that protect the vulnerable and raise up the lowly. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You give life to those in need by anointing of your Holy Spirit. Comfort those who suffer. Encourage those who care for the sick. Bind up the brokenhearted. And wipe away the tears of all who mourn. We pray especially for those who need before you now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You give life to this community of faith by infusing us with love for one another. Inspire us to reach out to our neighbors in meaningful ways and bring the joys of community to a wider family of people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You give life to your saints by setting a banquet table of rich food. Feed us with the bread of life and bring us with all your saints to the feast that has no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, the spring of new and everlasting life. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's offer each other a sign of peace. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who is dying and has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all the creatures, and with all angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, blessed it, gave it to all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, to be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread. Come to this table where you are known and loved. Please be seated.
Thank you.
body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sustain you and be of you grace and peace. Amen. May the body and blood of Christ sustain you and fill you with grace and peace. Amen. Body and blood of Christ bring you peace, joy, and happiness. Amen. Sustain you for your grace and peace. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. the stand. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you sent light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, restore, support, strengthen, and bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.